The HSE could be facing a huge €700 million compensation bill if thousands of upcoming cases are found in favour of the consultant doctors taking them. These doctors claim they are owed money for pay increases dating back to 2008, and they're being supported by both the Irish Hospital Consultants Organisation and the Irish Medical Organisation. On the line now, Paddy Gilligan, Chairman of the IMO Consultant Committee. Thanks indeed for taking our call, Dr. Gilligan. This figure on the face of it that's emerged overnight, it really is a massive amount of money, 700 million. Are your members owed that, do you think?
Well, the reality is that our members have taken contracts up in 2008 and indeed since then, because that's the only contract available to consultants, that has never been honoured by the employer's side. So this is really a contractual issue. And it's a contractual issue not just for consultants, but for everyone in the country here. When one takes a contract, one has a realistic expectation that the detail of that contract will be honoured by both sides, both the employee and the employer. Sadly, our feeling is that the employer side has not honoured the contract for consultants.
Well, now, just on that point, will you just take us through what actually happened to give rise to this dispute?
Okay. So in 2008, after a prolonged period of negotiation, a new consultant contract was agreed. And that new consultant contract basically involved a increase in hours of work, increased availability for out-of-hours working. It also impacted on people's ability to access private practice. And people taking a Type A contract, for example, agreed to forego any private practice and work entirely in the public sector. So people certainly took a financial hit potentially taking this contract with the understanding that it would be honoured by the employer side. Sadly, that has never been the case. Obviously, the country ran into some difficulties with regard to the finances of the country. And in that context, doctors, consultants included, took significant reductions in their salary under the public sector agreement. But the problem was that even prior to the public sector agreements taking place, the contract had never been honoured. In fact, Mary Harney, who was the then Minister for Health, decided not to give one of the increments that was part of the 2008 contract, and she did so outside any existing legislation.
Would her measure, her reduction, not have been covered by the FEMPI legislation, the Financial Emergency Measures in the Public Interest, or did that come after her decision?
No, indeed, that is exactly the case. Her decision predated the FEMPI legislation and so is outside of the public sector agreement and happened unilaterally without any discussion with the employees or the employees' representative bodies.
Right. And the point, I suppose, that might be argued by way of a counter argument, and I'm sure this will be given a good airing in the courts, is that everybody had to take pain, and the consultants were very well rewarded as things stood, even with the cuts, including the unilateral one imposed by Minister Harney, as she then was.
Well, to be absolutely clear again, Sean, the reality here is that consultants did take all of the cuts of the public sector talks and agreements. So that happened. But what also happened to the consultant body is that they, as I say, in good faith, took a contract that was never honoured by the employer side. So those public sector cuts were superimposed on other cuts that had no, in our opinion, had no legal basis. With regard to your question around the level of remuneration of consultants, as you're aware, we have over 250 vacant consultant posts in the country at the moment. We've had more resignations from consultant positions in the public hospital system than ever before in this country over the last number of years. Doctors are leaving the country and doctors are not returning to the country because if they can't have faith that their contract is going to be honoured by the employer's side, then they're not going to take up those contracts.
Now, as we know, the challenge to this arose initially in the Employment Appeals Tribunal, where two doctors, Dr. John McDermott, an endocrinologist at Connolly Hospital, and there was another doctor, Thomas Hogan, who took a separate case. But these were just two individual consultants. Were they seen as test cases?
Not in particular, insofar as the IMO has lodged cases with the High Court as well. Certainly, we agreed with the findings of the Employment Appeals Tribunal that this was a breach of contract, but we had already progressed the issue of lodging papers with the High Court around the breach of contract for consultants in general.
And have you had any informal or even formal contact or negotiations with the Departments of Health and indeed Public Expenditure and Reform about how this situation might be addressed outside the court system?
Well, that's a very good question, and the answer is we would like to have had discussions in this regard with the Department of Health, Department of Finance, Department of Public Expenditure and Reform. We have pointed out to them on a number of occasions now at various fora that the existing contract is no longer fit for purpose and is failing to attract the calibre of individual that we want working in the Irish health system. But there has been a stunning lack of engagement by those departments with us.
Because looking at that figure on the face of it, it's more than double the initial estimate. It's 700 million euro is, I think, more than the entire amount that the ministers have for extra spending as they prepare their budget next week. Do you actually think that the country can afford this?
Well, the reality is the country can't afford to be without specialists in the provision of acute hospital care. And that's the reality we're currently working in. Many of us are working without the number of colleagues that we need. There are specialties around the country that are either being filled by locums or not being filled at all. For example, we know at the moment that one in four consultant posts advertised have no applicants for them. So the country cannot afford to run
equally,
a health service without addressing...
We can't run a policing service without Gardaí. We can't run an education system without professors. There are just so many demands. I'm just wondering if this can be settled some other way than just taking it through the courts, or the government somehow finding the resources to write a cheque for 700 million euro.
Well, the reality is that we do have a huge issue in the public sector, and this is, remember, this is a contract issue for all public sector employees in reality, because if the government can unilaterally change the terms and conditions of a contract without engagement with the representative bodies, then contracts essentially no longer cease to exist in Ireland.
Yeah, but can you really say, though, Dr. Gilligan, that this is about current recruitment, that it is deterrent? People, it's essentially a historic issue going back to 2008.
I can absolutely say that this is a current issue, because it's absolutely impacting on individuals. They're looking and saying, well, hold on, if the contract doesn't have to be honoured by the employer, why would I take up a contract? So it's absolutely current, and I have no doubt is a huge part of the reason why we're not getting applicants for posts, for consultant posts around the country.
What, a fear on people's part that they mightn't be paid if they apply and succeed in getting a job?
Absolutely, that they mightn't be paid as per the contract that they have in good faith signed, because that was the reality for their colleagues.
But what they did was, and we've had, I think, three ministers since Minister Harney, what they did was lower the amount people were paid, but they got paid the lesser amount.
So as well as the public sector component, and absolutely we acknowledge that the public sector cuts were deemed to be necessary at the time, and consultants took those cuts. But what we're saying is, superimposed on that as well, there was a contract that was never honoured.
And when you say that there has been absolutely no engagement on this by the other side, by the government, is there an implication that if they were to engage, a deal could be cut on it?
Well, I think certainly there is absolutely a good sense in the parties sitting down to discuss the issues and to discuss the various perspectives and increase our understanding of each other's opinions in this regard. And the IMO are ready to do that at any time with the various departments.
And would you accept, though, that if they were to somehow find or scrape together 700 million euro on back money for your members, there would be an absolute outcry from other sections of the public service, from people who have been on much, much less by way of remuneration and have had to take a lot of pain and been given a very long lead-in for things like pay restoration?
But again, Sean, the reality is that as well as this breach of contract, consultants have had all of the other reductions and cuts made under the public sector agreements. So this is above and beyond all of the public sector cuts that have happened. It is something that desperately needs to be addressed so that we can get on and provide the service that we want to be in a position to provide.
Father Gilligan, Chair of the IMO's Consultant Committee, thank you indeed for joining us and staying with this story and for an analysis of the impact it could have on the health services. Danielle Barron, freelance medical journalist, is on the line now. Danielle, in regard to the background to this and following on what we've just heard now from Father Gilligan of the IMO, how did it actually get to this?
Well, I mean, it's taken this many years to get to this. I mean, it has been an issue that's underpinned consultant and their contractual issues for the last 7 or 8 years, and it points to the fact that we're still feeling the impact of decisions that were made in the immediate aftermath of the financial crisis. I do agree with Dr. Gilligan, as he said, this is a contractual issue. The consultants signed the contracts in good faith and they weren't honoured. So I believe from a legal standpoint, I mean, I think it's quite cut and dried, and it was reported earlier this year that the Attorney General had advised the HSC to settle the cases as such. This 700 million figure, I find this plucked out of the sky in terms of it's a worst case scenario. So is this a sort of a scaremongering tactic in advance of budget negotiations? I mean, this is happening in the context of the upcoming budget. Health is the most complex and controversial budget that we have and that has to be negotiated. This is the first year, Simon Harris told the consultants conference at the weekend, that the HSC will come in under budget, but it was given 500 million extra during the summer. So this 700 million could have a huge impact on what is already a very thorny negotiation in terms of the health budget and implications for service development, which hasn't really happened since the financial emergency. There hasn't been service development. There have been cuts imposed again and again, and this is a really worrying figure that's being put out there.
Is it possible, Danielle, that it could somehow be dealt with in as part of a renegotiation of consultants' contracts?
There are calls for new contracts. I mean, Mary Harney was the health minister at the time when this contract was brought in, and it really did change the face of the service that consultants provided. There was a lot more out-of-hours cover. It dramatically reduced their private practice that they could do in their own time. So the consultants made these concessions by signing the contract. They didn't get the associated pay increases. Then the unilateral cuts were imposed on their salaries following that again. And again, I agree with Dr. Gilligan in terms of this has had a huge impact on manpower in the acute hospital setting. We can't attract consultants, 250 vacancies. I mean, I think it speaks for itself. I do remember hearing an anecdote of a doctor who began a post on a Monday in a regional hospital, and by the time he found out the salary at the end of the day, he had left. So our terms and conditions can't compete internationally. And yes, now we have this situation where a contract wasn't honoured. So the fact that there has been no, as Dr. Gilligan said, there hasn't been a kind of a conversation, an honest conversation between...
A stunning lack of engagement is how he characterised
it.
Yeah,
and I mean, that is alarming, because it is important not only to attract new consultants, but to retain who we have. Ireland has seen several consultants go abroad to take up other positions in the last few years. These are established doctors. That never happened before. Doctors would go abroad and train and bring their expertise back here to the Irish health system, yet now we're losing our experienced doctors. We can't retain the junior doctors that we're training, and we can't attract the best in talent from overseas. So I do think this has an impact. As I said, I find it worrying that there's a 700 million figure being bandied about when every cent of a health budget is accounted for. And like I said, there hasn't been scope for service development in recent years. But we have to look after our consultants. And I mean, I think it really comes down to the fact that we do want the best in consultants working in our health service. And I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
But what about the nurses? What about the paramedics, who are every bit as important in many respects as the consultants? Okay, the consultants are the top of the pile and they're the most specialised, they're the most highly trained. But is it possible that the government could somehow contemplate giving the consultants their back money without expecting a huge backlash from nurses and others in the system?
I mean, there will be a backlash, but I think really, maybe I'm just thinking of it too simplistically, it is a contractual issue. This is a legal decision. It's silly in hindsight, because these are the decisions that were made at the time of the financial emergency, and we're still feeling the repercussions of that. So So, I mean, the impact of the Croke Park Agreement, the Haddington Road Agreement, I mean, these are still being felt. And yeah, I think that all the staff, I mean, anyone who watched Keeping Ireland Alive would agree that all the staff working in the health service deserve increases, but that's not the way it works. In this specific case, it's a specific contractual issue, and I do think it's going to be a legal decision, but this is where the legal world and the moral implications of a 700 million payout from a tight health budget, you know, will come into play.
Right, we shall leave it there. Thanks indeed for your analysis. That's Danielle Barron, freelance medical journalist on the line there. Now, it's small, it's got no loo, but it's got fantastic food because yesterday it got a Michelin star. We'll be hearing from the co-owner of a successful restaurant in South Dublin after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.